Back to School mit Kick. Nur diese Woche. So viel mehr Power für die Schule.
Sichere dir jetzt mit deiner MyKick-Vorteilskarte zum Schulstart 20% Rabatt auf unser vielseitiges Sortiment an Schreib-, Schul- und Bastelbedarf. Auch online auf kick.de.
Nur jetzt und nur bei Kick. Mehr als du denkst.
Come on, I muttered, tapping the steering wheel nervously. I couldn't miss this. This deal was too important. My boss had claimed this was a make or break for my employment. If I was late to this meeting, I was doomed. I pulled out the pocket watch that had been gifted to me just this morning. 3:15 p.m. The meeting was supposed to start in 15 minutes, and I was an entire 30 minutes away. Traffic had been at a standstill for what felt like an eternity. The cars in front of me hadn't so much as budged in the last 10 minutes. I gripped the pocket watch tightly, subconsciously praying that I'd make it to this meeting. I put the watch back in my pocket and pulled out my phone, checking the GPS for an alternate route just in case. The screen flickered oddly, then refreshed with a newfound route. A series of some back streets that looked like they cut through the city and would get me there just on time. It looked tight, but it was my only chance by a long shot. However, based on the city's layout, it still seemed impossible to make on time. I eyed the gridlock ahead of me, my stomach clenched with frustration. I had to take the risk. I turned off the highway, and as soon as I did, the drivers behind me started honking their horns angrily. Honestly, I felt a little stupid, hoping that making it on time was possible. I drove down the suggested exit and saw that I was the only one doing so. The exit led me towards a section of the city I'd never been to. I went through a narrow street lined with old brick buildings, looking much older than the modern infrastructure that made up most of the city. The road was oddly quiet. It was the middle of the day, and as far as I was aware, this part of town wasn't known for being busy. I was making good time, but I couldn't get the nagging question of why no other drivers were taking this route. The streets around me were entirely desolate. The road ahead of me looked endless, an empty street littered with trash and moss. It looked entirely abandoned. It felt like I was all alone. The 5 minutes I drove felt excruciating, every second passing making me more and more nervous. My phone buzzed, something about losing the GPS signal. I looked down, frowning. The blue dot was frozen on the map. I smacked my phone in a cartoonish attempt to make it work again, and glanced at the buildings at either side of me. Had the road been getting narrower? These back streets were like a maze, one narrow alley stretching for miles and branching paths that looked almost too tight for even a person to squeeze through, let alone a car. I drove a little farther until I realized that my suspicion was correct. The road was getting narrower, so narrow that it was getting almost too tight for my car. I cursed under my breath. The alley continued, stretching into the distance between towering, dirty brown and grey buildings. I still couldn't see where they ended. The pure vastness of this abandoned section of the town made me wonder how I'd never heard of it before. At this point, I had already given up on making it to the meeting in time. The alley was getting so narrow that I could hear a slight scraping noise as my wing mirror clashed with the rough surface of the buildings to my sides. I reversed ever so slightly, just enough to be able to get out of the car, and planned on surveying the road ahead of me. I turned the engine off, let out a heavy sigh, and stepped out of my car. The moment my shoes hit the ground below me, I regretted it. The entire alley felt wrong. The air was heavy and moist. It smelled like rust, mildew, and something I couldn't recognize. The light above me seemed to dim ever so slightly. There were no clouds in the sky, just the suffocating weight of the buildings crowding in on me on either side. The road ahead did indeed get significantly narrower, so I trudged forward. My car clearly could not pass any further, so I planned on finding the nearest business or anything helpful. I pulled my phone out to try check the signal. Nothing. My phone was useless, and the GPS app was still in the exact location where it had lost service. I stuffed it back in my pocket and decided to keep walking. I could now see more details of the roads themselves. The walls of the buildings were stained with aged graffiti and trash piled up in every corner. The strange thing was that all the packaging was faded, as if it had been there for quite some time. All the windows were either boarded up or cracked. Rats scurried between the heaps of trash, and the air took in an oppressive smell of decay, increasing in intensity the further I walked. Each footstep I made created a sickening echo through the streets. The weight of my situation was finally sinking in. I was going to lose my job, which made every single step I took heavier than the last. I would be lying if I said I wasn't already getting concerned. The frustration of the roadblock was fading away, and it was getting replaced with my fear for my future. This was my best paying job ever, and I was unsure where to go. I pulled the old pocket watch out again, the one my wife, Alexis, had given me. "For good luck," she told me with a smile. It had been her grandfather's, she claimed, a family heirloom of sorts. Her grandfather told her stories of it granting wishes and attributing it to his success in life, passed down through generations for God knows how long, and she'd insisted that I take it with me to this meeting. She said her father gave it to her after he hurt his leg in an accident, saying he can't run like he used to before, which she always thought was an odd reason. Maybe an inside joke. I laughed it off initially and pocketed it mostly out of respect. I didn't have much belief in things like wishes. I mean, just a few moments prior, I had wished to arrive at the meeting. And now, here I was. But now, I felt the weight of the watch in my hand, a little heavier than I remember it being. I flipped the watch open, its face cracked, and the hands were frozen. 3:26 p.m. It had been working earlier. I was sure of it. With a heavy sigh, I slipped the watch back into my pocket and continued walking. I glanced back and noticed that my car was now entirely out of sight. Given the road's straight nature, that was impossible. I could only imagine that the road had a slight curve to it, so slight that it was barely noticeable on foot. I turned around and started walking back the way I came, determined to check if my suspicions were correct. What I did not expect was that I would end up walking for what felt like another while with no car in sight. Then, I came to a fork in the road. The alley twisted into two paths. I was sure I hadn't seen a split in the road on my journey. I might have been too lost in my own thoughts about how screwed I was now that I wasn't making it to the meeting, so I assumed I just walked forward without looking at my surroundings. I went left, choosing what I felt was right, and hoped I was correct. As I continued walking, my sense of time was getting distorted, so I wasn't sure how long I walked. The alley wasn't as straight as I thought it was. Looking in the distance, it winded and curved without any real sense of direction. The buildings looked decrepit. Dirty walls, cracked pavement. All the buildings blended together so much that I started to feel like I was walking in circles. Yet, I kept going, telling myself the road would lead somewhere eventually. I glanced over at the countless buildings that surrounded me. I hadn't seen any sign or markings of a business, not even a restaurant or a bar. The buildings looked entirely deserted, and if they did, for some reason, house someone, I did not want to take my chances on the kind of company they'd hold. I continued on, but the road just stretched. The shadows grew darker, and the alley ever narrower. A while longer, I stopped to catch my breath. I wasn't the most athletic person, but surely I covered quite some distance during this time. This wasn't right at all. Nothing was. By now I should have made it to my car, or at this point, to the other side of the damn city at least. The sun should have been high up in the sky, but instead it was getting darker, as if twilight came early. The buildings overhead pressed ever so slightly closer. It felt like I was in a dream, another world, one that was shrinking and closing in around me. I rechecked my phone out of desperation. Dead. I couldn't even make a call. I took a deep breath in an attempt to keep calm. I'd gotten here of my own accord, so there had to be a way out. I'd crossed so much distance that this couldn't just be an abandoned street or block. It felt like I was in an abandoned city that geologically shouldn't exist. I knew roughly where I was turning off when I took that exit. This place shouldn't be here. I decided to make the arduous trip to retrace my steps. I planned to go back to the first fork in the road and turn right this time, and hope it led me to my car. I begrudgingly headed back the way I came. And again, the path was not the same. I was sure there had been no other forks or turns on the main road I was on, but instead of the curving alley I'd walked so long on, there were now three different directions ahead of me, none of which looked even remotely familiar. My heart started racing. I turned in a slow circle as panic set in. I picked a direction at random and started walking faster, almost running. My shoes hit the concrete with a sound that reverberated all around me, but the alley stretched on longer than before. Each step I made seemed to make my surroundings more claustrophobic, and everything twisted and turned in ways that made no sense. I had no idea how long I moved like this. Minutes, maybe hours. My legs ached, and my throat was dry. I stopped checking my watch on my phone. The time was always frozen at 3:26 anyway. My head was pounding, and a sense of dread gnawed at me from the inside. The dark alley around me felt alive. That is the only way I can possibly describe it. The walls seemed to shift when I wasn't looking. The turns multiplied and appeared more frequently. The road was now diverging in paths unlike before. I no longer had a straight and narrow road ahead of me, but a path that crisscrossed and intersected within itself, leading me deeper and deeper into whatever I was being led toward. I could feel it in the air, a primal instinct. This wasn't just some maze of back streets. I started jogging, then running. I figured I couldn't go on forever and wanted to be out as soon as possible. But the quicker I moved, the more disoriented I became. The alley bent in such strange ways that it sent me spiraling. I tumbled to the ground as everything became perfectly quiet, devoid of my echoing footsteps. I kept telling myself I should have been out by now, but every turn led me to a dead end or another unfamiliar stretch of streets. My breath became ragged, quick gasps, and I had to stop for a moment. I stood up and pressed my hands to my knees in an attempt to recompose. That's when I heard it. The faintest of sounds somewhere behind me. A soft shuffle amidst the silence. I stood up straight, and my heart thrummed in my chest. I looked behind me, there was nothing but an empty path. My mind raced, but then it came again from somewhere, closer this time. I worked out that the sound had to be coming from the turn ahead of me. Deep down, I hoped some other person had gotten lost there too, possibly led astray by their GPS, and was now in the same situation I was in. I know it sounds malicious to wish someone into my dire circumstance, but at least it meant I wouldn't be alone in this. I slowly made my way forward, hoping not to scare whoever was approaching. God knows I would hate it if someone sped towards me or riddled with anxiety from this place. The shuffling persisted, undeterred by my approach. It sounded like whoever was around the corner was so exhausted that they were dragging their feet on the ground. I called out to them, telling them that I was friendly and asking if they were also lost like me, and that we should look for a way out together. I received no response. In fact, as soon as I spoke, the sound of shuffling ceased entirely. They must have been hesitant, understandably so. So, I hoped that approaching in a calm manner would settle them, so I gently neared the turn. Just as I was about to reach the corner, they seemed to have beaten me to it. But what came round spiked my adrenaline so hard that I span in the spot and sprinted away so fast I thought I was leaving burn marks on the floor. All I saw was its hand. A gaunt, elongated facsimile of a human hand, the proportions exaggerated in a way that told me that whatever was about to turn the corner was dangerous. Just seeing the hand was enough for a primal part of my brain to tell me a predator was about to turn the corner, and I was its natural prey. The echoing of my footsteps was no longer the only noise in this decrepit place. The air was thick and heavy, as if I were running through water. I could hear the shuffling behind me, faster and irrationally persistent. I didn't dare look back. I just ran. My lungs burned and my legs screamed in protest. Each turn I made, the shuffling behind me stayed ever close. The echoing surroundings made it hard to determine how close it was, which pushed me to keep up a pace that was too much for me. I knew I would slow soon, but I forced myself to delay that as much as my body would allow. I took turns at random, having no time to deduce a choice and knowing that the alley's layout had no logic. But somehow, I still managed to make the wrong choice. I took a blind turn and hit a dead end. The light from the gaps between the buildings highlighted my doom. I heard the shuffling behind me near the turn. It was too close to backtrack. In a matter of seconds, it would be upon me, and even thinking about what that meant was painful enough. I ran to one of the gaps between the buildings. I had stuck to the streets and their Lovecraftian logic, so God knows what squeezing between the buildings would lead to. And squeeze it was. I doubted I could even fit in, but I pushed myself in and forced my way through. The shuffling went straight for the gap, but luckily it had the same issue as me, and it slid into the gap to shuffle towards me. The gap narrowed the further I got in. I moved my head, but soon had to commit to a direction. A wash of morbid curiosity came over me, and I took a quick glimpse back. That was enough for me to keep my head looking forward for the remainder of the way. It had all the limbs of a human, but the proportions were all wrong. Its arms were almost the entire length of its height, which must have been nearly 7 foot tall. Despite being further back, its closest arm reached out towards me, not helping it move, just hovering in my direction, its fingers twitching like it was ready to grab me the moment I was within range. Its other hand dragged on the floor behind it, creating a familiar shuffling sound. Its skin looked like it had a rough texture and was pale in color. It sounded abrasive on the walls, pressing in on us, resistant to any of the pointy defects of the cheap bricks that made up these buildings. A luxury I did not have. Even the smallest bumps in the walls dug into me, cutting into my suit and sometimes my skin. But I could not dwell on the minor pains when a major threat was slowly closing in on me. The pursuit continued as I finally wiggled my way to the other side. I had to get back to safety, but I was completely and utterly lost. Using the gaps of the buildings was a new idea, so I tried to keep up that creative pattern. I had not tried entering any of the buildings yet. I booked it for the building nearest to me and attempted to force the door open. I could hear the rabid thing behind me squeezing itself between the same path I had just come from. Putting solid concrete between us sounded like a bastion of safety. But the door refused to budge. The humanoid figure finally exited the tight space with a sickening pop. Adrenaline kicked back in, and I was already in a full sprint. Above my thumping footsteps and the shuffling in pursuit, I realized there was another sound. A ticking sound. It was faint, barely audible, but it was there. A rhythmic, soft ticking. I yanked the watch once more and stared at the cracked face. The clock hands were moving in a strange way. It read 2:11, all hands pointing in the same direction. I turned the watch, thinking it might have been broken in the tight squeeze, and the hands all turned in unison. It wasn't telling me the time. It was telling me a direction, akin to that of a compass. I continued running, and the watch adjusted as I made my movements. It was guiding me, trying to tell me something. As I ran in a single direction, the ticking of the watch started getting more frantic, and the sound of the shuffling returned to reach a crescendo. I hurried my pace with the last of my strength, but was no longer running blindly. I let the soft, steady rhythm guide me through the maze of the alleyways, a sick game of hot and cold. The creature was still behind me, its shuffling echoed in the darkness, but I didn't stop. I couldn't. Eventually, I saw it. A faint red car in the distance. My car. It was still parked in the same spot where I'd left it, as if nothing had happened. The moment I saw it, the pocket watch's rhythmic ticks turned wild, and the creature's pace quickened. All other senses seemed to flee my mind, and my sole focus was on running as fast as I could. I reached the car, fumbling with the keys with shaking hands. The thing was so close now that I could almost feel its damp breath on the back of my neck. I shoved the key into the lock, threw the door open, and jumped inside. I slammed the door shut as the creature reached me. The vehicle shook as the beast collided with it, and I closed my eyes in an attempt to at least grant myself the privilege of not looking at that thing again. For a moment, everything went perfectly silent. I sat there in disbelief, my breathing still rapid from the long sprint I had to maintain. The heavy breathing must have been too much for me, or the panic finally set in, because I passed out. When I woke up, I was parked in my spot at the office building's parking space. I checked my phone out of habit and saw the time. 3:28 p.m., 2 minutes before my meeting. Seeing I was on time for the meeting overtook the shock of remembering my phone had died. I corrected my posture as I raised myself up. I didn't waste any time. I pushed the car door open and headed towards the meeting room. I still don't quite know what happened or how I got out, but I knew the watch was connected to it. I distinctly remember holding it while stuck in traffic and wishing I could make it to the meeting in time. And lo and behold, I did. I've been back on the same freeway I was stuck on before the meeting, and there isn't an exit where I remember turning off the road. I pulled over in a lay-by, and no matter how many times I checked, there was no alternative routes from that spot. It seemed my wish had come true, as my grandfather-in-law had told my wife, but it came at the cost of this chase. And now, it finally made sense why it was passed on to her. When her father hurt his leg.